In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So I invite you to sit back for a bit. It's story time. Now, this story starts with a 12-year-old girl in Egypt named Mary. This is way back, around the year 360 AD. Now, for reasons unknown to us, 12-year-old Mary ran away from home and headed to the great Egyptian city of Alexandria. And like the younger prodigal son, Mary spent the next 17 years or so in loose living, sins of promiscuity of the flesh, as it were, petty thievery, substance abuse, perform menial jobs that were available to unattached women in that society, you know, weaving and such, just to make enough money to go on her next bender. All the while abusing and being abused. She lived this way throughout her teens and her 20s, 17 years of that. Now, when Mary was around 30 years old, she heard of a great festival in Jerusalem, and seeing crowds of people getting on boats and not one to pass up a good party, Mary joined them. Little did she know, and at that time little did she care, that the party she was heading to was none other than the Feast of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, and the actual cross of Jesus Christ, the very cross on which he was crucified, was going to be there, having recently been discovered. So when Mary arrived, she followed the crowds all the way from the harbor to this grand church. And at the great doors on the porch of this church, Mary starts to enter. And it's there she feels a force, a something, preventing her from entering. And on the steps of that church, Mary has a breakdown. It all floods from her heart. The weight, the pain, the abuse, the fleeing, the longing, the emptiness, the loneliness of those 17 years, it all catches up with her on the steps of that church. And in her complete breakdown, the grace of Jesus Christ enters her life with, for her, unprecedented power and clarity. You know, all her scrabbling for short-term pleasures and highs and stimulus, well, that very stuff was what was preventing her from experiencing true joy and true peace and true love. And it was in that moment that this Mary of Egypt changed. She changed. In that moment, Mary turned to God and prayed for the first time in years. And instead of the rejection that she had expected, Mary was overwhelmed with a feeling of boundless compassion and boundless love toward her, the depth of which she didn't even think was possible. She was shocked that such a flood of love and kindness was available to the likes of her. And then a heavenly voice spoke into her heart, saying, "If you cross the Jordan, you will find rest." So Mary followed this voice, followed its instruction, and crossed the Jordan and lived in the wilderness for 47 years. But the first 17 of those 47, Mary was miserable. She was miserable. She had not escaped what she thought she was going to escape, or escape didn't work the way she thought it was going to be. Those first 17 years were filled with self-loathing and anxiety and hunger and temptations and these horrible memories flooding back into her and loneliness and horrible, horrible despair. And eventually, after 17 years, Mary realized that she hadn't escaped the real problem. It wasn't something that she could run away from. Only when she accepted God's way for her did things change. The rest she was going to find came through receiving God, not from escaping. And when she accepted God's love and accepted God's kindness, finally Mary discovered inner peace. By accepting real love, the old internal chaos floated downriver, as it were, and in its place came that rest and came that contentment and eventually a vision of the divine light itself. And in the quiet of her heart, Mary found God and in so found herself, found the Mary that God had created her to be. And therefore, she was able to live in peace for the next 30 years until she died in solitude. Now, if Mary was alone all those years and died in solitude, someone might ask, how could we possibly know about it? It's because about a year before Mary died, a monk named Zosimos went into the wilderness for Great Lent as a 40-day retreat. And while there, he ended up meeting Mary, just by chance or by providence, and compelled Mary to tell him her story, and so she did. And after his retreat ended, Zosimos went back, told her story at the monastery, which then spread and since has inspired millions worldwide. Now, for the past 25 years, off and on, in the years when I've preached on Mary's life, I've tended to focus on her ability to change her life and her accomplishments through prayer and her inspiration to generations of people, all of which is true, and all of which is valid, and all of which is edifying. This past week, Thursday and Friday, our Isaiah readings in the church lectionary, our Isaiah readings spanned the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, where the prophet speaks of God. First, he speaks of God bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. And then Isaiah says this, he says, don't remember that. Don't think about those things. For God says, I will do new things, surpassing anything I've done before. And God says, behold, I make a path in the wilderness and rivers in dry places. God, through Isaiah, is saying, don't focus on the rescue from Egypt. Don't focus on an escape, is what God is saying through Isaiah. Now, God says, I'm about to give you a path in the wilderness and rivers in dry places. So I'm on a lot of church lists, weekly emails, websites, those kinds of things. They all come in on Monday and Tuesday in my inbox. This past Sunday, a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, had a guest preacher by the name of Wendy Berg, and she was preaching on this very verse from Isaiah. And Mrs. Berg noticed something really important and really profound that I'd like to share with you. And she said, and I quote, notice God does not say, I will make a way out of the wilderness. No, God will meet us where we are, right here with us in the wilderness. And I'm thinking, yes, you know, that's it. That's the real message. You know, this opens the door for truly understanding the extent of God's grace when we are lost. God makes the path in the wilderness. And for Mary of Egypt, then, her story isn't so much what she was doing and accomplishing in the wilderness. And her first 17 years prove that. When she was trying to do it on her own, it didn't work. Hers is a story about what the love and kindness of God was accomplishing in her, in a 12-year-old runaway, easily forgotten by the rest of the world. And so the obvious follow-up question is, what about you and me? What Isaiah teaches and what Mary reveals in her life is that healing does not come from escaping Egypt, from escaping Alexandria, from escaping, you know, my own pain, or escaping the chaos of and the slavery to the rush of thoughts that flood our minds. We don't need to escape them. It doesn't work anyway, and we can't escape them. I mean, who can escape pain in this world? Who can escape memories? Who can escape chaos? It's not something escapable. But God brings you a river of grace in the middle of that. God brings a river of grace in your desert. God makes a path for you in your wilderness. You don't have to escape, is what Isaiah is saying. God brings the power to you where you are. In your darkest and in your loneliest and in your most tempting and your most painful and your most exhausting and your most lost moments, in other words, in your wilderness, there is where God will meet you. In the driest places of your spirit, there is where God sends rivers of living water. It's when I am most tested that I can find God in the quiet place of my heart if I am willing to see. If St. Mary of Egypt reveals anything, if the prophet Isaiah teaches us anything, if Lent and the cross and the tomb of Jesus Christ reveal something to our spiritual life, it's that God does not say, I will make a way out of the wilderness. No. God will meet us where we are, right here with us in the wilderness. Amen.
Amen.